The curse is reversed in Wellington, and the box are back at the top, while the URC gets everyone involved and the NPC heads for the postseason. The September 30, 2024 edition of the Rugby Report starts right now. Hey everybody, and welcome to the September 30, 2024 edition of the Rugby Report, your weekly review and preview pod. My name is Dwayne Burkhardt, and in this episode, we'll cover the All Blacks finally putting the capital curse to bed, the Springboks decisively taking home the 2024 Rugby Championship title, URC Week 2 action, and as we head to the NPC playoffs, we'll tell you who's in, who's out, and who's still not sure. But first, we need to note that it is not September 30th, and that's because we had a major technical problem here at the Rugby Report, and we apologize that the show is late, but we are happy to be here now. And we will begin our coverage this week in the Kiwi capital of Wellington, New Zealand, where the All Blacks have had nothing but problems in recent years. Would the ABs finally be able to vanquish the Bewitching by the Beehive? Or would the Wallabies be the next team to apply a whooping in Wellington? They would not. Although, I want to give full credit to the Wallabies in this game, because while this game might not belong in a vault with some of the most classic games between these two storied rivals when they were the best two teams in the world, both teams were notably improved in this game, and I continue to see promise in their future. The first half was a largely close back-and-forth battle, but a try right at the half gave the Kiwis a 19-13 lead at the break, and in the second half, for the first time in the rugby championship, the All Blacks held their opponents scoreless. In fact, the reserves not only protected the lead, again, for the first time this year, they expanded that lead. In the end, the All Blacks backfield, including ALB, Sevu Rees, and Will Jordan, who now has 35 tries in 37 test matches, were just too elusive and too fast for their Wallaby counterparts. And the full-time score was All Blacks 33, Wallabies 13. Now, before I move on, I need to note two other events around this game that made it special. First, it was the last game for TJ Perenara, a player who has been the absolute heart and soul of every team he's played for. Perenara finished his Kiwi career in front of his home crowd. He played his entire career for the Wellington Lions and then the Hurricanes. Sky Stadium is his house. And second, this match was Sam Kane's last game and his 100th test match. Kane is now just the 13th All Black to play 100 international test matches, and after the ceremony, both teams lined up to honor him as he left the field for the last time. And that is one of the reasons that I love this game so much. Moving on to South Africa now. The last game of the Rugby Championship started with at least some potential for excitement in that Argentina came into the game with the chance to dethrone the world champions and win their first Rugby Championship. But that did not happen. The Springboks sprung back, and they did so in an emphatic way on their home soil, blowing away the Pumas' hopes for glory. The full-time score, South Africa 48, Argentina 7. But I will say it again, folks. Argentina is now, and frankly has been for a while now, a major world rugby powerhouse, and they deserve great credit for the progress they have made. Well done, Pumas. Well done. Since we're in South Africa, let's hop over to week two of the URC season now, where we note that the South African teams were, in fact, in action this week. So things are back to normal there. For now, anyway. The weekend began on Friday night when top-ranked Leinster brought the 1-0 Dragons back to earth, 34-6, and the recently shocked 0-1 defending champion Glasgow Warriors took out last week's frustration on a shell-shocked Benetton squad. Full-time score there, 42-10 to the Warriors. On Saturday, the Lions welcomed Ulster to the Den in Joburg, where they then proceeded to take advantage of the greatest home field advantage on earth and took down Ulster 35-22. Meanwhile, down the road in Pretoria, the Bulls opened their season by frustrating Edinburgh 22-16. But then we have what was undeniably the shocker of the weekend, as the perennially hapless and helpless Zebra Parma pulverized, yes, pulverized Munster 42-33, and no, that is not a typo. Zebra beat Munster. Wow. Later on, Cardiff went into the Scarlets' house and came out with a win, 24-15. And finally on Saturday, while the two South African teams at home came away with wins, the two on the road struggled, as Connick bested the Sharks 36-30, and somewhat more surprisingly, the Ospreys took down the Stormers 37-24. Now, finishing again in New Zealand, round 7 of the NPC ended on Wednesday when, as predicted, Taranaki bested North Harbour 31-25. But from there we move on to round 8, where there were some pretty shocking results. In fact, let's start with the big one on Friday night, as the county's Monaco Steelers welcomed the number 1 ranked Wellington Lions into Navigation Home Stadium. Now, admittedly, the Lions came into this game as the number 1 seed, basically nothing to play for, and an incentive to rest key players, while the Steelers came in at number 8 and had everything to play for to stay in the playoffs. But still, this result was shocking. Counties dominated this game from the word go, leading 24-0 at the half and blasting out to a 48-0 lead before the Lions finally got the ball to Peter Umaga Jensen for a try, but it was way too little, way too late. And at full time, it was Counties 51, Wellington 12. Ow. Saturday's action began at the absolutely gorgeous Tauranga Domain, where the Bay of Plenty Steamers welcomed the Northland Tanafa to town. Northland came into the game mathematically alive for the postseason, but needed 2 bonus point wins to get there, and the Steamers were not feeling generous at all. Look, as I have said many times now, the Steamers are, without any question or argument, the most fun team to watch. Their offense is filled with lots of fast-paced passing and unselfish play, and Saturday's game was nothing less than a textbook example of what makes them great. The Steamers scored at will in this game, eventually pushing out to a, wait for it, 50-point advantage. Yikes. The reserves gave up a couple of very late tries to make this game look closer than it was, and it still doesn't look remotely close, because it wasn't. The full-time score was Steamers 53, Tanafa 13. The win all but guarantees the Steamers a home quarterfinal in the playoffs, and the loss, unfortunately, ends the Tanafa's slim hopes of making the postseason. Next up was the lone nail-biter of the week, as the suddenly struggling Hawke's Bay Magpies hosted a sort of surging Auckland side. A reminder that a month ago, the Magpies were undefeated and held the Ranfurly Shield. Today, Shield is gone, and they've dropped 3 straight, 2 of them in total blowouts. Could the Magpies get their mojo back? Not early on they couldn't, as Auckland jumped out to a 12-0 lead, but as the game wore on, slowly but surely, the Magpies fought back, and early in the second half, a double yellow card against Auckland, which was totally the right call, by the way, gave the Magpies a 15-13 man advantage. The Magpies scored off the advantage, but Auckland's defense otherwise held, and with 17 to play, Auckland still had a 25-15 lead. The Magpies made their move again, closing the game to 3, but Auckland, playing for their playoff lives, fought back again, scoring 10 more points in minutes. And with just 3 minutes to play, Auckland led by 13. But 2 tries, including 1 in extra time by the man, the myth, the legend, Ben O'Donnell, and it was suddenly a 1-point deficit and all down to Harry Godfrey's kick to win the game. And Godfrey had the lineup in pretty much the worst spot possible. But he makes the kick, and in an absolutely stunning come-from-behind last-second victory, the Hawke's Bay Magpies survive, end their losing streak, and functionally eliminate Auckland from the 2024 playoff hunt. Full-time score was a frankly unreal Hawke's Bay 36, Auckland 35. Next up, the previously unbeatable Tasman Mako traveled to Forsyth Barr in Dunedin to take on the Otago Razorbacks. Now on paper, this game was a no-brainer to predict. The Mako have been playing like a team of destiny, while Otago has struggled to be consistent, winning huge games when they were the underdog, but then losing games they should have won easily. It was a game that you would expect the Mako to swim away with. But that is why they play the game. As they have so often done this season, the Razorbacks started the game by serving notice that, win or lose, they would not be pushed around. The game quickly became a back-and-forth battle, with Otago taking a slim 14-10 lead into the Sheds. But in the second half, Otago came out swinging against their South Island foes, opening up an 11-point lead. But the Mako had been under pressure before, and they responded by scoring 3 straight tries and opening up a 10-point lead of their own. But they would not score again. And Otago's offense went nuts in the last 10 minutes of this game, scoring, wait for it, 26 unanswered points in the closing minutes and blasting their way to one of the biggest upset wins of the season. Full-time score, Otago 47, Tasman 31. Now moving on to Sunday's action, we begin with another blowout from the weekend as Canterbury flew into North Harbour for a game that started like a blowout, with Harbour bursting out to a 21-0 lead, became more like a back-and-forth battle, 29-19 at the break, but then really didn't end that way. And a big reason why came down to 2 words. Moses Leo. Leo was everywhere on the field in this game, not that you could tell, because he seemed to be moving at the speed of light. In the end, it was the worst loss in Canterbury franchise history. And the full-time score was an eye-popping North Harbour 65, Canterbury 19. Ow. Sunday's action continued way down south, where my ever-lovable Southland Stags welcomed Waikato to town, and immediately wished they hadn't. As the Mulus cruised to a win in Invercargill, the full-time score there, Southland 14, Waikato 38. And finally, the weekend ended in Taranaki, where the defending champion Bulls, who have long since secured their place in the postseason, predictably rested key players and almost paid the same price as the Lions, but they did prevail over the Manawatu Turbos. Full-time score, Taranaki 33, Manawatu 31. Round 8 will officially end on Wednesday when, as I have already predicted, Tasman will take down Auckland. And for those keeping track, I was 5-2 this week, and that brings me to 45-17 on the season. Now, before we go to the final round of the regular season, let's have a look at the playoff picture. Wellington, Taranaki, Tasman, and Bay of Plenty are all guaranteed to make the playoffs and currently hold the top 4 spots, and would, if nothing else changes, all host first-round playoff games. Similarly, Hawke's Bay is in the 5th spot and will make the playoffs, although where they end up is very much in the air. But below those teams, things get pretty interesting pretty quickly. Waikato and Canterbury are currently ranked 6th and 7th respectively, and they are both in control of their own destiny. If they win, they're in. Counties Monaco is currently 8th, and they can take the last playoff spot if they win and North Harbour doesn't get a bonus point victory. If Counties loses and Harbour, which is currently in the 9th spot, wins, or if Harbour gets a bonus point win and Counties doesn't, then Harbour takes the number 8 spot and Counties is out. Otago is currently in the number 10 spot, but they too are at least alive for the postseason, but they need help. Otago must win and have Counties and Harbour lose in order to make it into the 8th spot. Now, technically speaking, there is a completely bizarre and incredibly unlikely scenario that would allow currently 11th-ranked Auckland to make the playoffs, but frankly, we're more likely to see a hard freeze here in Tucson, Arizona, where we broadcast from, where, just so you know, we're expected to be in the low hundreds all week. Finally, Northland, Southland, and Manawatu are all mathematically eliminated from the postseason and will be playing for pride in Round 9. So let's look at Round 9 now, which begins on Friday when Northland will host Otago. Northland is out of the playoffs, while Otago needs a win to get in, and they will get one here. Otago wins. Saturday's action begins when the Manawatu Turbos host the County's Monaco Steelers. For the Steelers, it's very simple. Win with a bonus point, and they're in. Or just win, and Harbour doesn't get a bonus point. And they will. County's wins, and they do make the playoffs. Next up, the Southland Stags finished their season against North Harbour. Harbour needs a bonus point win, and they'll get it here. Harbour wins. Game 3 features the Wellington Lions hosting the Hawke's Bay Magpies. Frankly, the Magpies have more to play for in this game, as, technically speaking, they can still finish first in the table, although that would require a scenario as ridiculous as Auckland's. If the Lions start their starters, want to preserve their position on the table, and take the game seriously, and I think they're going to do all those things, then they will win and they will secure home field throughout the playoffs. Lions win, and the championship goes through Wellington. Saturday's final game takes place in Canterbury when they welcome Waikato to town. The winner for sure makes the playoffs, although the loser probably does too. And the most likely scenario, in my opinion, is that they stay where they are. Canterbury will be tough, but I'm taking the Mooloos here. Waikato wins. Sunday starts with a barn burner game that could be a grand final preview, as Tasman hosts the defending champion Taranaki Bulls. Both teams have already secured playoff spots, but the loser of this game is very likely going to lose their ability to host a quarterfinal. Both teams are playing well, and the math favors the champs. But at home, I'm actually going to take the Mako. Tasman wins. And finally, the 2024 regular season comes to a close when Auckland hosts the Bay of Plenty Steamers. The Steamers are already in, but a win guarantees them a home quarterfinal, and they want a home quarterfinal. Auckland deserves great credit for turning a disastrous season around and finishing with respect and credibility. But the Steamers will be too much, and they will win this game. And finally today, switching to the New Zealand women's game, the Premiership semifinals were this weekend, and the action included a pretty major upset as the Canterbury women went into counties to face the Heat, and they did. Canterbury, with an upset win on the road, 36-31, and they advance to the grand final. Now the other semifinal, well, that went as predicted, and the Waikato women calmed the storm. But I don't think I saw this coming, because the full-time score was Waikato 69, Auckland 12. Ow. So the grand final for the women is this coming weekend in Waikato, when the home team Waikato women will face Canterbury for all the marbles, and I predict that it will be the Waikato women who will win it all in that game. And that's it, folks. That is all the more time we have for this, the late, sorry it's late again, September 30, 2024 edition of the Rugby Report. Thank you for listening. Please do hit that subscribe button and tell all of your rugby friends about us. And until next time, I will be continuing my efforts to start a professional hide-and-seek sports league. And it's not easy. Turns out the best players are really hard to find. See you next time. Bloopers. And the Box are back at the top of the URC. No, they're not. They don't even play in the URC. Would the ABs finally be able to vanquish the Bewitching by the Behave? The Behave? Where we note that traveled to Forsyth Bar in Dunedin to take on we'll try it again. It was a game that where you why is that sentence hard? This episode of the Rugby Report is the 2024 copyrighted property of Narratives LLC. It is intended for the free, private, and non-commercial use of its listeners only, and may not be rebroadcast or retransmitted, either in whole or part, without written permission. Please email info@narrativesllc.com for more information.